Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Originally thought that we would go through 17. That's not going to happen. And we're going to start at 11 and we're going to go through 13 this morning. All right? Romans 1, 11 through 13. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Paul's writing to the church at Rome. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and of me." Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before your presence with thanksgiving. Father, you are God, and we know that there is none beside you. So we bow before you today just to give you glory and praise for our very existence. We thank you, Lord, because you're a God of grace and of mercy. We thank you, Lord, for showing us that grace, that great grace, by giving your Son Jesus to die for our sins. And we thank you that the invitation goes out to all, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I pray for those in this service today who have not called upon the name of Jesus. Help them to realize their need for you. And I pray that today's the day they will make Jesus the Lord of their lives. Now we pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes, our ears to your word. Guide us and teach us, Lord, from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today, again, we speak on the subject of desire. Now, I don't want you to be confused. I'm not speaking on the subject of want. I'm talking about desires that we desperately need, okay? I have desires that are wants. Do you have those? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about desires that we need. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, "I long to see you." That word long, it means to have a tremendous drive or desire for something. And Paul's desire was, very simply, to visit the church and the people of Rome. He had a longing of the soul to be in the presence of that church. And he told us in the text why he had such a desire. He said, I desire to impart to you some spiritual gift. Paul didn't want to visit the church in Rome because they had a really, really good music program. Paul didn't want to visit the church in Rome because they had a dynamic youth pastor. Paul didn't want to visit the church in Rome because they had a wonderful seniors director. He wanted to visit the church in Rome that he might contribute to their ministry and the spiritual well-being of the other Christians who were in Rome. You see, Paul knew that he could not contribute to the ministry of the church at Rome if he were not present. I want you to think about that statement for just a moment. And I want to share with you a personal belief. I believe that there is a God-given longing within every believer to meet together with the people of God so that you may exercise your spiritual gift for the benefit of others in the church. I believe there's a God-given longing. Quite honestly, I need to meet with you on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I need to meet with you on Sunday, on Wednesday night. I have that spiritual need. And it's hard to explain. I know as the world looks at me, looks at all of us as believers, the world doesn't get it. They think church is just an option, you know. If you got nothing else to do, you can go to church. But for the believer, church is not an option. It is a need of the soul. That's why we have such faithful members at Victory that I appreciate so very much. You know, as I was thinking about this need to worship and this need to be a part of God's people, it came to my mind of something that I really appreciate today. You see, on my phone, I have an app. And this app is called FaceTime. My children, whom I love very much, are scattered. I have a son who lives in Nashville. I have a daughter who lives in Rogers. I have another daughter who lives in Norman, Oklahoma. And you know what? I miss them. But I will tell you, I really miss the grandkids. And so there's this wonderful phone app called FaceTime that I pull, you know, on occasion we'll pull up, well, pretty frequently. We pull up and they will call us or we'll call them and we will talk to them face to face. Well, it's almost face to face. I guess it's digital face to face. But it's good for me to see my children. It's good for me to see my grandchildren. For me to be able to say, hey, I love you. For me to hear from them, I love you, Pops. Wonderful. And it is such a blessing to me to have FaceTime that I've discovered I don't need to go anymore, to go see them anymore. That's a lie. I appreciate FaceTime. I do. But when I hang up from FaceTime, something's missing. I've not been able to hug my grandchildren. I've not been able to touch my grandchildren. I've not been able to play with my grandchildren. I've not had that personal contact where I know I have interacted face to face. And so, as you know, every once in a while, I just have to take off and go see them. Because I want to. I need to interact with them personally. There's another thing happened in our culture today that is, I'll be honest with you, that it really concerns me. It's the internet church. Now, I'm not here to offend anyone, but I'm here to tell you the truth. Church was never designed to be an internet activity. The word church itself means assembly. It means to assemble together. When COVID came through, you know, and it first came through a year ago in March, and we suspended services for, I don't know, a few weeks, and I sat at home, and I tried with all my heart to worship and to enjoy your company. But you know what? You were not there. And you can say the same thing about me because I had not assembled. And when we started back, I realized, and I've shared this with you before, I realized what a God-given desire, longing of my soul that I have to meet together with God's people. And my friends, to be quite frank with you, if you do not have that longing of the soul to meet together with God's people, something is terribly wrong. I know there are people at home watching today, and I appreciate our internet audience. But there are people watching at home who are shut-ins. I get it. I understand. This is the best you can do, and I appreciate you tuning in. But for those of you who have just decided, I can watch church in my pajamas, I want you to understand what you're missing. Today, I taught a Sunday school class. been teaching for, a couple months now. And you know what was great about it? I looked into the eyes of real people. I heard the comments of real people. I shook the hands of real people. I hugged real people. And beloved, you can say whatever you want to say, but you need real people interaction. I can't give hugs on the internet. I can't touch on the internet. I can't do those things that the soul needs. I know I'm kind of on a tightrope here. I know there are people who are afraid to come to church today. And I want to just tell you, I love you. This isn't about raking you over the coals. This is about telling you the truth. If you're so afraid to come to church today, my question is, do you go to Walmart? But Brother Doug, I have to go to Walmart. No, you don't. They have grocery delivery. You go to Walmart because you want to go to Walmart. I've had people tell me, well, Brother Doug, if everybody will wear a mask, if everybody will get their vaccinations, I will come back to church. I love you, but you're not telling the truth. If you really were concerned about masks and vaccinations, you'd stand at Walmart for an hour before you went in and make sure everyone was vaccinated and everybody had a mask. Same thing. And what you don't understand is what you're missing. Your soul is starving for the companionship of the brethren, the fellowship of God's people. You have a need for the church. That need will not be filled sitting at home on the couch watching on the internet. As I said, I know there are some who can't come. But I also know there are those who choose not to come. Because they're afraid. I decided many months ago that I would either live in fear or I would live. But I can't do them both. I chose to live. And I pray that God will give you the courage to do the same. I recall the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And he said, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. I think we're at that turning point today in our culture. That turning point being, am I coming back? Am I not? Well, I set the decision before you. I presented that you need God's people. You need the fellowship. You need the encouragement of God's people. Now choose. Will I spend the rest of my life locked in the house? Or will I choose to live? You say, Brother Doug, can you guarantee I won't get COVID? No, I cannot guarantee you will not get COVID. Had it, been there, done that, didn't enjoy it, but got over it. But I'm not going to live locked up in the house. Not going to do it. The choice is yours. And I want you to know whatever choice you make, I'm going to love you. But your soul will not be satisfied sitting at home watching TV. Number two, Paul had a desire to establish the church at Rome. His goal was that his contribution to those would help establish them. Last week I told you what that meant, that to make them immovable. Ready to face the future. As I mentioned last week, these believers faced a rough road ahead of them. You see, Rome, it wasn't that they did not like religion. They were fine with religion. They were tolerant, even tolerant of other religions, and it was fine. It did not matter what God that you served. But they were a polytheistic culture, meaning they believed in many gods. And you could worship whatever god you want to as long as you included the emperor. As long as you worshiped Caesar, you'd do whatever else you wanted to. Well, as you might guess, this did not go down well with Christians, because for the Christian, there was one Lord, and that was Jesus Christ. There was the requirement that the Roman government had of sprinkling incense into the fire and saying, Caesar is Lord. And if you would do that, you're good to go. A man named Polycarp, and I'm going to paraphrase, he was burned at the stake because he said, basically, for 86 years I've served my God and He has never failed me. I will not fail Him now. That's what was ahead of them. As I mentioned last week, many of the Christians were wrapped in animal skins and torn apart by dogs. Many of the Christians were soaked in oil and put on poles and burned for lamps and lights in the Roman garden, the Roman emperor's garden. I mean, it was going to be tough. See, that's why Paul, his desire was to get them ready. Now, today, I know we don't face such persecution. My life has yet to be threatened because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, we don't know what tomorrow holds. And throughout the world today, I can tell you this, believers are having church underground because they cannot worship publicly like we are here today. If they get caught, they will be killed. They will lose their home, they will lose their family, they will lose their possessions. There are Christians today being beheaded for their faith, because they won't convert to Islam. There are Christians who are still daily paying the ultimate price for their faith. Ah, but we say it'll never happen in the United States of America. I fear that we're wrong. It's knocking on the door. You know, pastors have already been arrested for preaching the gospel in the United States of America. Churches and pastors have been fined for opening their churches during this COVID pandemic. And you can be entitled, you are entitled to your opinion, but I'll tell you this. If there's one thing we need in the hour of crisis, it is God's people meeting together praying for that crisis. We don't think it can happen here. But more and more we're being told that God is not welcome in the public square. More and more we're told that it is inappropriate to use the Bible in our schools and in the public square. I fear that in just a very short time, you and I may be faced with making a decision. Will we stand and be established and refuse to be moved by a government that has no respect for God? Or will we give in? And when we face that, I'm reminded how much I need you. Because I'll tell you, when I meet together with you, I am strengthened. I am more determined than ever as I observe a baptism service and one of our youngsters come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. As I hear the amens in preaching every week, I'm encouraged and lifted up. It establishes me. And that's what I want for you. The stronger we are as a church family, the harder we will be to break up as faithful servants of God. That's why you need church. Paul desired to establish his brethren. And I want to remind you today that Jesus is Lord. Not the government, not the health department, not the culture. Jesus is Lord. Then Paul wanted to desired to encourage them through mutual faith. You know what that word encourage means? It doesn't mean just to make happy. It means to instill courage or inspire with courage. That's what church does to people. The point of encouragement is not to make you happy. It's not even that you can come to church and the people of God will remove the problems that you're facing. The idea is, in encouraging or instilling courage in one another, that we will help you to be able to withstand and persevere the attacks of Satan regardless of what he throws at you. And I don't think most people realize how important they are to the brother. I want you to know everyone here as a believer, as a child of God, you are needed. You are important in encouraging the brethren. And I'll give you an example. Last Wednesday, have you ever had a day? Last Wednesday I had a day. Don't know why. Nobody said anything. Nobody did anything. Nobody. It wasn't anybody's fault. I just had a day. And I'll be honest with you, I was discouraged. And I began to question everything. Everything. Even to the point of, Lord, am I doing any good? Am I where I'm supposed to be? By the time I got to church Wednesday night, I was praying, Lord, just show me something. And when I walked into this church, everywhere I looked, people were smiling. You don't think, you know, a smile is not a big deal. Oh, yes, it is. I needed to see people smile. To continue to walk around, everybody I talked to was encouraging. Nobody had anything wrong. I'm sure they did, but they didn't reveal it to me on Wednesday night. Every person I saw seemed to be filled with joy. And it was so obvious that on my way home, I just had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Yes, it is worth it. Yes, I am where I'm supposed to be. Yes, Lord, you are working. Yes, I understand. And Lord, I just want to apologize with you for feeling sorry for myself. But y'all know how preachers are. We just get to feeling sorry for ourselves every once in a while. But my point in telling the story is this. None of you knew. And I wasn't going to tell you. You know, none of you knew how I was feeling Wednesday night. But your smiles, your encouragement, and your presence lifted me out of the pit Wednesday night so that when I got home, I was a blessed man. It encouraged me. It gave me a renewed determination. And I want to say, for that, I love you and I appreciate you and I need you. But it's not just me. You look around, not at your spouse, but just kind of look around. You know the people sitting in front of you? You have no idea what's on their mind. People sitting around you, you have no idea what battle they're facing. People in the balcony, you have no idea the threats that they feel at work or at home or at marriage. You have no idea. But I'll tell you this. Everyone here needs to be encouraged by the brethren. You see, we live in an age where sometimes some people are not so much fun to be around. You know what I'm talking about? 15 minutes with them, everybody be depressed. Well, let me tell you, we're children of God, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how bad this life gets, we still win. And so as we interact with one another, let's remember there just might be somebody that I say hi to and smile at that needs to see that smile. There just might be somebody who I say, whom you interact with and speak with, who's downhearted and they feel like nobody cares, and just you spending 2 minutes with them conversing is going to give them courage. You don't know what's around you. But I'll tell you, God knows. And God has you here for a reason. And that is to encourage the brother. Oh, listen, point to this message today is I want you to see how very vital church is to a child of God. Oh, we need it. And like I say, there is strength in numbers. It's easier to stand. You know, Paul said, I'm here to establish you and to encourage you through the mutual faith. We fight enough battles in this life alone. We need to realize we're not fighting alone. We're fighting arm in arm with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's my message to you today. You're not alone. You have a church family as a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. That is, if you're part of the family of God and a part of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. You see, there are some people. And I know you may be visiting today, and this is the first time you've come or the second time you've come, and you're not ready to join yet. I get it. Okay? All right? You've got to make sure the Lord wants you here. I understand. But you also have to understand, number one, you can't enjoy the benefits and the blessings of the faith if you're not of the faith. You need to be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's pretty simple. Ask Jesus to save you. Oh, Brother Doug, there's got to be more to it than that. There's not. There's not. There's not some law you have to keep. There's not some money amount that you have to give. You just simply have to place your life in the hands of Jesus Christ, calling upon Him as your Savior. And He'll save you. Now today, if you're not saved, I want to ask you to come in this invitation because I'd sure like to lead you to Christ so we could rejoice and welcome you into the family of God. But maybe you're here today and there's another spiritual need. You're fighting a battle. Kind of like I was on Wednesday, you know, as you just feel like you're alone and maybe somebody's done something to you. Maybe nobody's done something to you. As me, it was self-inflicted, but you just need the reassurance of God's people. I want to tell you this. In a moment, I'm going to ask our church staff to come up and other ministers in the church. And And they're going to be hearing this invitation, and they're going to be ready to pray with you. That if you need a prayer, if you need encouragement, they're going to be here ready to do that with you. You know, sometimes it just helps to have somebody pray with you and pray for you. We're going to have an invitation to give you that opportunity in just a moment. And if you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of Victory, don't put it off any longer. If you know that's where you're supposed to be, if this is where you're supposed to be, hey, come on, get in the family. Let's serve the Lord together. Whatever your spiritual need is, I implore you, listen to Jesus. And I'll emphasize the fact that as a child of God, and I believe this with all my heart, as a child of God, you can't have satisfaction of the soul if the Lord's church is not part of your life. Can't. You can't do it. Well, Brother Doug, I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You're exactly right. The blood of Jesus is what takes us to heaven. But Jesus left the church so that we'd have one another to fight this battle together. All right? This invitation's for you, whatever your spiritual need is, as we prepare Heavenly Father. Sometimes we take our church for granted. Sometimes I take the church for granted. And Lord, I want to apologize. And today, I just want to rejoice in the wonderful gift of the family of God. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the encouraging saints that are faithful. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this church. Father, I do pray for those who have fallen by the wayside, who seem to have lost that zeal, that drive, and that desire to come and meet as an assembly. Father, I pray that You will draw them back to You. I pray that You will once again fill this church even greater than it was before COVID. And help us all, Lord, to be an encouragement to one another, to bear one another's burdens, to wrap our arms around one another, to love one another, and to inspire one another with a renewed courage. Lord, now this invitation, we trust in You. Pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.